The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. We've been speaking about marriage and divorce. Christ has much to say about this topic. God is the author of marriage, but we would have to conclude that Satan is the author of divorce. Now you just have to decide which one you want to obey, God or Satan. Notice what Christ had to say in Malachi 2 and verse 16. And I say Christ because it was the one that became Jesus Christ that inspired and spoke the Old Testament. Malachi 2 verse 16. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Eternal of Hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. Christ is telling us to watch our mind, attitude, character, and to live up to our marital vows. Now, we all know what they are, and it's up to each one to keep the covenant of marriage. That is our God-given, God-ordained responsibility for a man and a woman. In verse 16, Christ said he hates divorce. Why does Christ and God the Father hate divorce? Well, for many reasons. One reason is because it ends in adultery, the breaking of the seventh commandment. God says it covers one's garment with violence, causing iniquity, sin, and evil. It leaves kids without proper child rearing by both parents, and often without either parent, and left up to the grandparents. It leaves kids tossed back and forth, not really knowing where their home is, and many other evils it brings on kids. Notice in Matthew 19, beginning in verse 3, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Well, that seems to be what we do, is just divorce your spouse for any reason, and maybe for no reason. Most usually, it's because we find someone we like better. But I want you to notice the only reason that Christ gave for a divorce is found in verse 9. But before we read and comment on verse 9, we want to continue with verses 4 and 5 here. Beginning in verse 4, Matthew 9, and he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This was the beginning of the marriage covenant. In verse 6, so then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God hath joined together, let not man separate. Christ said, don't allow man to separate your marriage. Verse 6 says, a married couple becomes one, and let no man pull you apart. It should be as though something is trying to rip a leg or arm from your body. It should hurt that bad to separate or divorce. Now think about that, my friends. That would hurt, wouldn't it? And it should hurt to separate you from your wife or your husband. Verses 7 and 8 continues here. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And notice Christ's answer here. And he said to them in verse 8, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. In verse 8, Christ is telling us that if you divorce your spouse for just any reason, that it is because of the hardness of your heart, that God's word can't penetrate. You won't listen to God. In other words, you don't want to live by the word of God. That's what Christ is saying in verse 8. Now notice verse 9. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Just as Malachi said, divorce covers your garments with violence. You are sinning. You are evil. Christ is saying that marriage is for life, wasn't intended for separation or divorce at all, and the only out would be if your spouse had been a fornicator much of their life and had deceived you to think they were pure before you married such a person, or if they became an adulterous person after marriage and just wouldn't stop, then you would have a right to divorce, but certainly not for any other reason except just continued abuse, especially in a physical sense. God does give you the right to protect yourself. In 1 Corinthians 7, notice what it has to say that Paul was inspired to write, beginning in verse 12 here. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. Even if only one spouse is in the body of Christ, you are producing godly offspring. That's what Christ is telling us. Verse 15, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. God wants peace in the marriage, and you and I should want the same. Paul is speaking about the fact that if one, the husband or the wife, is a true Christian in the body of Christ, and the other one isn't, that if they leave and divorce you because they can't stand your religion, then you would be set free of that marital covenant. But it's very important to notice that the one in the body of Christ was living up to that marital covenant and was not at fault or to blame for the separation or the divorce. And notice what verse 24 has to say. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that calling which he was called. This verse is plainly telling us to stay married if you were married when God called you and placed you in the body of Christ, so you don't have an out for separation or divorce. But the unbeliever may divorce the believer, but that doesn't make it right for the unbeliever to separate or divorce. They would be held accountable for such. Now let's dig into the New Testament more deeply to see how to have a happy marriage and a happy family. If your marriage is wounded, hurting, and has scars, and it seems most do today, yet it can be healed. So far, we have been talking about the husband's responsibility for the most part in living up to the marriage covenant. But it takes two to make a good marriage, and one spouse can't do it alone. Notice what Christ had to say or inspired Paul to write in Ephesians 5, beginning verse 22. It has this to say, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Notice that, my friends. Listen to that, wives. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. In other words, it's saying, wife, don't be and don't act independent of your husband. Respect and listen to what he has to say. Don't second guess his motives. Don't twist what he says and get all bent out of shape, become angry, resentful, and disrespectful to him. If you claim to be a Christian, and if you truly are a Christian, would you have a bad and disrespectful attitude toward the Word of God and Jesus Christ? Well, no, you wouldn't. You will submit to Christ and His Word, and if you are truly a Christian, you will feel the same way to your husband. You will respect his decisions and be kind to him. And when a woman feels unloved and when a man feels unrespected, there are problems in the marriage and in the family. So being respectful to your husband goes a long ways in mending or keeping a happy marriage. A wife should try that and watch the result. That is God's word, and it works. Now going on here in verse 23, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. A man is to care for and love his wife as Christ does the church. That is a big responsibility for a man. Christ said that would make, mend, and keep a good marriage. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, notice what it says. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can't even imagine Jesus Christ leaving his own body, the church, and chasing others. That'd be far from Christ to do such a thing, and it should be far from a man as well to mistreat his wife and sin against God by breaking your I do's, your marital vows. Back in Ephesians 5, verse 23 again, God says the husband is head of the wife, meaning as well as head of the family, the kids as well. He's the one responsible for the well-being of the family's finances, religion, child-rearing, health care, education, and the one that provides and protects his wife and kids in every respect. That doesn't mean that the wife doesn't have a say in the family's affair. She should, and the man should listen to her wisdom. A wife should be very concerned as to how she prepares food for the family. That is one of her big responsibilities for the health and welfare of the family. But the husband is to lead the family in love, not walking on his wife and kids, but leading the family in love as Christ leads the church, not forcing or driving, but having guidelines for the good of the family. The wife is to back and respect her husband in his endeavors of the family, not to undermine him and confuse the kids as to what the guidelines are. And the husband should back the guidelines that his wife lays down for the kids as well. If they don't, that will cause friction in the family. Both has to do this. Notice Ephesians 5, verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Meaning, be in agreement with your husband, just as the church should be with Christ, not adding to or taking away from his words or guidelines. This verse is telling the wife to back and support her husband, unless he's out, and I'd say way out in left field so far that you would be going against the will and the word of God. One thing we all should remember is we must put God first and above anyone and anything. Hopefully, you know the word and the will of God and Christ well enough and are strong enough spiritually to make the right decisions in such cases. Verse 24 is mainly telling a wife that she should have the right attitude toward her husband and the authority God has given him to be the head of the family. His office and responsibility to that office as head of the family should be respected, just as the church respects the office of Jesus Christ being the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Now notice verse 25. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. A man should love his wife so much that he would die for her. Now that is actually loving your wife more than self. Well, that is exactly what Christ did for the church, his body. Your wife is a part of you, and Christ said, love her just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. How much time does Christ spend with the church? How many prayers and needs of his body does he listen to? He talks to us as much and as often as we want him to through his word. He daily loads us with benefits. Notice what David had to say in Psalm 68 and verse 19. It says, bless the Eternal who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Christ said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And David is saying here in Psalm 68 verse 19, says, bless the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Now one very important benefit for your wife is to spend time with her and talk to her. Many wives complain that their husbands won't talk to them or even listen to them. Men, how often do you tell your wife you love and appreciate her, or help her with the chores and the kids, or take her out for dinner? You could daily load her with benefits, and you should. These little things make a good marriage. If you are having problems in your marriage, or if you want to mend your marriage, or just want to have a good marriage, or you're thinking about getting married, then you should request our free articles, Marriage, Just a Piece of Paper, and Spend a Lifetime Together, and the article, Edge of Divorce. Or you could just ask for articles 212. We will know what you mean. Call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, 573-238-3675. This is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.